I just need someone to help me stay awake because evidently Killer Mike has gone to sleep.
Niggas talk to me about that woke ass shit. Yeah. Same niggas walking on some broke ass shit. You see your words ain't worth no money, I ain't spoke back, bitch. All of you niggas hang together on some broke back shit. Really, y'all niggas some hoes on some hoe ass shit. Look at me and take a picture on some Kodak shit. What you see is a cheat and you envy that shit. I can see it in your eyes like an envious bitch. I'm in rooms with politicians talking business and shit. Here you come with your opinion, ain't solicit that shit. Lola hit up DJ Paul, went to Memphis and shit. Pause. Rest in peace, the Lord infamous, bitch. I'm so underground, I move like Pimp C in this bitch. I bob and weave and bust on beats like Bun B in this bitch. I'm feeling like I'm Tony Draper, ballin' G in this bitch. On fire like Hot Boy Juve, 400 degrees in this bitch. All that chatter, that you chatter, pop my matter, just don't matter. I don't forth and backer, I clack clacker, rattle tatter. Could be blacker, could be cracker, it's whatever, that's whenever. Sprinkle salt, I spray pepper. You play bad, I go evil. I know folk, I know people, I'm the shit. You a leech, I'm a leader. Humble down, we ain't equal. Kill your master, slap your seat. I'm Rich Rollin', true blue weak. I keep a stick, don't take shit. And that 223 is lethal.
Talk a lot of shit. DJ Paul. Let's go. That fucker talk a lot of shit. My shit don't impress me. That fucker talk a lot of shit.
Black Boulay hate me. I'm too cool, AC. I don't give a fuck if we getting legal if none of my niggas ain't free. Ay, I don't give a fuck who the president is if the president ain't for me. You ain't never met a nigga like me. I'm a bad nigga, I'm Stagga Lee. I'm a Morehouse man, Spike Lee. Dope man with a plan, fast speed. I kill him, I'm Jose Williams. Unbought, unbossed, I'm chillin'. Tryna get it out the mud, out the muscle. Tryna get it like the late Herman Russell. I'm yearning like Alonzo Herndon. I'm the new cue ball, I'm earning. First rule, you better understand. You dealing with a real black man. If I said it, I meant it, I meant it like I said it. Cause I said what I said, understand. So stay in your place, little man. Comment on the TV channel. I guarantee you never seen a nigga like me. Cause they only make these in Atlanta.
A lot of shit. My shit don't impress me.
Yo, what's cracking out there, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Reckless in the building. How y'all feeling? Listen, there's been a lot of stuff that's been going on in the news. A lot of things that's going out. It's just too much. But anyway, I'd like to welcome you all to the Reckless Effect podcast. As I said before, I'm King Reckless, and I'm in the building. All right, that was Killer Mike's talking that shit that came out about a week ago, I want to say. And what can you say? Killer Mike, DJ Paul, like, come on, that is creme de la creme, if you ask me, ladies and gentlemen, creme de la creme. I can't wait to hear anything else that Killer Mike might be putting out soon. Anyway, let's talk about something major that's been going on, and I'm not talking about these elections that's gone down. Although I will say that in my state, in California, I am a little upset that, you know, the menthol cigarettes, you know, and other flavored, you know, vapes and stuff like that, that ban is gonna, that hurts. that hurts just a little bit. But, no, let's get into something that has a lot of misinformation and misconceptions and things that are going on. So let's talk about Kyrie Irving for a second, right? So for those who don't know, I mean, if you've been living under a rock, I mean, well, actually, let me go back for a second. I want to give love and send my condolences out to Aaron Carter's family, his friends. We lost him a few days ago, and more details are coming out about, you know, his death, and it's really sad to see, especially since this young man was just a year younger than me, you know, and he had come through so much, you know, to get to where he is. It's just sad that he couldn't make it, you know, couldn't make it to the end. And I mean, like, a long life, and be able to look back on his life and see where he had come from to be the man that he ultimately was proud to be. You know, that 80-year-old man telling his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, you know, about his life and how things was back in the day. It's really sad to see him not make it there, but, you know, sending love and blessings out to his family, his friends. It's really sad to see him go and to die, you know, be found dead in a bathtub. You know, it's reminiscent of, you know, Whitney Houston and Bobby Christina. It's just sad. And, I don't know what to, say. There's been talk of also, Reba McEntire being in the hospital, and then there's some fears there. Listen, to me, Reba McEntire is one of the best voices, you know, ever. You know, if you've ever listened to any of her music, that voice is significant. She's an incredible talent, classic music. So I'm pulling for her, and I wish her a speedy recovery. And, you know, we already lost so much this year. I mean, Angela Lansbury passed away too, and that was just like, wow. So many more on top of that. And this year, the past couple of years really has really rocked us. And, you know, death is a part of life, and we can't ignore it. It's still sad to see. You know, still sad to see. But anyway, moving forward, let's get into this Kyrie Irving situation. So we all know pretty much the situation. He posted a link on his social media to a documentary that's hosted on Amazon Prime. We can get into, like, looking at Amazon Prime and why they put this documentary up. But let's focus on Kyrie for a minute. And let's focus on the things that are surrounding this situation, the meat, as it were, okay? So Kyrie posted a link to this documentary, which is also a book that's on Amazon, and it's called Hebrews to Negroes. And it's weird, to be honest with you. And the whole thing, like, because, you know, majority of people haven't read it or have seen the documentary, so they don't really know what's in there. But when you compound this situation with Kanye West and the anti-Semitic rhetoric and, all of that, you know, the sensitivity of, you know, Jews and their culture, the Jewish people and their culture. It puts us all in a weird, weird state of mind. So I'm trying to be as, you know, factual and direct and honest, to be just being honest about this whole situation. So after him putting it out there, he was addressed by the media and people, and they were basically saying to him, you know, that this has anti-Semitic rhetoric in there. And he says, well, I'm not promoting it. And people are saying, well, technically you did, because you put it on your platform. He was like, how is it me promoting it just because I posted a link? That's not me promoting it. I didn't promote it. I just pointed people to a situation. Here's the thing. Let's break that part down. Promotion. Activity that supports or provides active encouragement for the furtherance of a cause, venture, or aim. The other definition is the public the publicization of a product, organization, or venture so as to increase sales or public awareness, or being the operative word there. Meaning, he didn't do it to further the sales, but he did want to create public awareness of this film, which means he promoted it. People were saying, like, the difference in promotion is that he was paid for it, or he had to be paid for it in order for it to be a promotion. That's not true. Because of this day and age where, you know, you can connect to millions of people with the click of a button, or a post on your Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, you connect with millions of people. You connect with, even if you have a small presence, your presence is still a presence. People follow you, like and comment on your stuff because they like you. They look up to you, or they admire you, or they just know you, and they like some of the stuff that you put out there. So when you put something out there, no matter what it is, you are promoting the action. Think about it. There are girls everywhere who post pictures of them, like, you know, dancing out in the fields, and you see it everywhere, and people like those pictures. They love those pictures, and then they replicate it and do it. It's the promotion of being free, or at least the idea of it, having fun and not taking yourself so seriously. When you copy those quotes that people put up on their page and you like it, that is promoting something, even if it's just an idea or a thought or a feeling. Those thoughts and feelings, those ideas, they are powerful, especially when you are put in a position where you have thousands, if not millions, of people following you and wanting to see what you have to say about things, hear what you have to say. Even though he is an athlete, that doesn't mean that his words and his influence is not as strong as someone who's a politician. It doesn't mean that at all. So, yes, he put something out there and put a link to it. He didn't have to say, go watch this. The fact that you put it out there means you're telling people, go watch this. You're supporting this thing. You're promoting this thing because you believe in it. Because you believe in it and you share it, you're promoting it. Doesn't matter if you make anything on the back end. You're promoting something that you believe in. And that's what he did. What's wrong with this is that the book, because the book is like 720 pages long, I don't have time to read that much of a book to fully understand it. But knowing that the documentary is out there, and it's 3 hours long, I can take 3 hours out of my day to watch this. So I'm one of the people who actually watched it, and then I had to go to see interviews from the author, and I realized that there is so much to this, so much more than what I thought. And if you want to know who wrote this, his name is Ronald Dalton Jr. And it's his effort to prove the Black Hebrew Israelite belief that certain people of color, including Black Americans, are basically the true descendants of the biblical Israelites. And it's weird. It's strange to look at this and really try to feel connected to it. In the film, it promotes the beliefs commonly found among other anti-Semitic and extremist factions of the movement, including claims that modern Jews are imposters who stole the religious heritage of black people and have encouraged in a quote-unquote cover-up to prevent black people from knowing their true identity. And it's just so... That small part, like me watching and taking notes, trying to understand where this message is coming from, where he's getting this information from, what is his sources, where is he going with this, like really trying to break this down and try to understand it. And much of the film, to be honest with you, is it deals with historical and generic arguments about various racial and ethnic groups. It includes extensive anti-Semitism and including claims of global Jewish conspiracy to oppress and defraud and defame black people, and allegations that Jews are in part responsible for the transatlantic slave trade, and the claim that Jews falsified the history of the Holocaust. So it's just, it's wild because it really dives into these five falsehoods that these people really push, which are, like I said, the Jews and Israelites, or Jews are Israelites and thus God's chosen people. Jesus Christ was a Jew, that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust during World War II, that all races are equal, or that all are brothers, that Jews are just another religious group. Those things are false. That's what this is saying in this documentary. They're saying that the Holocaust, even though that there's plenty of documents out there, plenty of proof. You know, there's the survivors, there are the chambers, there are the things that was excavated and things that were found out, the journals from these men, the books and just the videos, everything. You know, there is so much proof that happened. And it was an atrocity. And the thing is that people really believe that this didn't happen, even though, what, this is 2022 and World War II was in the 40s? It's not that long ago. It's not. And because we have all these documents and we have all the proof, why do people still not believe that this happened? First off, I want to meet these people because that's just... That doesn't make any sense. But here's the thing. Because of this, quote, cover-up and everything, it really goes into trying to support the claims and the allegations that they wanted to conceal their nature. Jews wanted to conceal their nature and protect their status and power. To support the claims, the film cites statements from prominent anti-Semites and notorious anti-Semitic texts and as supposed evidence of the true nature and identity of Jewish people. For example, the film includes passages from Henry Ford, the godfather of the vehicle, of the car, who was a known anti-Semite, who it was known. He didn't hide that at all. So it's still kind of, it's sad to get evidence from people who hated a particular group of people for their own personal reasons and flipped it into something that was completely false. It's based on hate. The International Jew is from Henry Ford, and two fabricated quotes from Adolf Hitler. These are your sources, sir. There's a lot that's. None of his stuff is supported by anything factual. None of his, all of it's coming from other anti-Semite websites. They're coming from other racist people throughout history, people who hurt and demeaned the Jewish community and other Holocaust deniers. This is where the information is coming from. And then trying to swerve it into this other thing and trying to showcase through the Bible and through misinterpreting things in the Bible to make it sound more concrete. But the thing is, everybody who reads it from all denominations of faith, right? When they read this, they are taking on their own interpretation of what this could mean. And no one is right or wrong. And that's the problem. Because you're using something that nobody can really argue. Because it's not based in fact. It's based off of your interpretation of it. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Because we've seen it throughout history where the Catholics will read a passage and believe that it's the word of God saying this. And then you get things like the Spanish Inquisition. You get all of these crazy things that happen. The Christians did the same thing. They see this this same passage that the Catholics read and interpreted it a different way. And then we see wars, takeovers, and we see all of this thing in the name of God in order to get there, you know, in order to get to this place. But what's really crazy to me is that, you know, people who we have locked up in, you know, mental wards or in prisons for killing people, hurting people, doing this. And they said, well, God told me, but God spoke to me. And you can tell they truly believe it because we call them schizophrenic. They've been diagnosed. They hear voices and all these things. And they say that it's God, it's the angels and all that. But we shut them down and say, you're crazy. And we lock them away. So what's the difference between them saying that and believing this and someone who's rational and sane and reading the Bible and taking over lands in the name of God? You know what I mean? Like, that's how dangerous it is. And that's how easy it is to fall prey into misinterpretations, misinformation, and then you hold truth to what has been brought on to you. Now, this is something that I find interesting, though. Kyrie Irving said something really interesting during the press conference where he was trying to find out his name, who he is, and where he comes from, right? That was interesting to me because studies have shown that people who are in desperate search for themselves are more susceptible to misinformation and lies. They are more susceptible to it because you are in search of something, and because you think you found it, therefore it becomes truth. And they will fight hard to believe, to know that this is true. They will fight everybody, and they're not coming from a place of logic and understanding and studies and counter arguments and other sources that could help build and really help people understand where this is coming from. They're not going to do that because this is my truth. This is it. That's all. And that's a scary thing. But sometimes it could be a beautiful thing, especially when you actually find what you're looking for. You find yourself. But in this situation, I think in his search to find himself, something found him and has now latched on. And because of his arrogance in wanting to, you know, defend it, which is fine. But at the same time, within that ignorance, it puts him in a position where he can be criticized. It's not about silencing people, because I don't think that's the goal here. I don't think they're trying to silence Kyrie Irving. I think they're trying to get him to wake up, hence why I played that song. But I think they're trying to get him to understand that what you're saying, you do have freedom of speech, but you are not free of the consequences that come with your want, your need, your right to say whatever the hell you want to say. Here's the thing. People who keep defending people who say, oh, you have the right to speak your mind and say whatever you want. You have free speech, free speech, free speech, free speech. But here's the thing. When any white person comes for black people and says anything negative or anything crazy, anything racist, we go for the neck. Do we not? We get angry. We call for their resignation. Donald Sterling had some incredibly racist things to say about black people. And what happened? We got his attention and made sure that he knew, nah, this place ain't for you, son. And we made him sell his team. I mean, did his racism go away? No, because we as black people don't think that it's necessary to go out and try to educate somebody. Okay, let me take that back. Sorry, don't mean to say that. What I actually mean is there is a good majority of people who are fighting the fight and doing what's necessary in order to educate people within their communities. But when it comes to bigger people, we ask, but we don't demand. And Donald Sterling could have taken, should have been that example, that billionaire, that you not only hurt his pockets, but you put him in a position to where, hey, do this, 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 and this. And we can talk about, you know, you getting ownership of a team in the future, or doing this or that, like educating somebody. But because he's old, hey, he's stuck in his ways, he's not going to change. That's how he is, that's how we always been, you know, fuck him, forget him, leave him. And we threw him into the bushes, but we paid him $2 billion to go away. $2 billion to go away. That doesn't help anything. That doesn't solve any problems. That doesn't do anything. If we would have taken, hey, you have to pay this money, and a portion, a huge chunk of this is going to go to civil rights leaders and black owned businesses, and it's going to go to black people in these communities, and blah, 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 blah. He's still out here making money. He's still on the Forbes billionaire list. He's still making money. Did anybody care? Does anybody care? No, right? And it's because it's a white dude who I believe is Jewish. I'm going to have to look that up real quick before I just commit to that. I don't think, let's see, Donald Sterling. I don't know why I didn't think of this sooner, because it's important. Donald Sterling. Damn, he's stupid rich for him. Yep, he is. So, that's the moment where it could have been, oh yeah, we can talk to him about, you know, this, that, and the other, and try to get him to see. But in fact, we did not. And that's the sad part. An opportunity missed, right? But he said some things, we came for him. Kyrie saying some things, Kanye said some things. And it's not that Kyrie is a racist. He's not. He's not. He just doesn't fully understand. And people coming in for his, coming to his defense, need to recognize and understand that you're coming in defense of somebody who is not going to, who did not, when given the opportunity in the beginning, to understand. Because he watched this movie, and I'm watching it with fresh eyes. And if I'm in search of something, because I was in search of answers, what is this about? What do you mean? Why is this such a bad thing? I'm not looking for the anti-Semitic stuff, but you can't help but to see it. And when you, I mean, you cannot help but to see it. And if you are only looking at a piece of something and saying, I'm going to take just this part because this part is good, and not take it all in as a whole, you are denying yourself everything, because you can't accept just a little bit just because it fits your narrative. You have to look at the whole thing and weigh if this is actually right. And then look into the sources, look into the information, find it, and try to counter this claim. Because a lot of this is, a lot of it in the movie or in the documentary is very easily Googleable. And that's the sad part. Finding other people who edited this stuff, the historians, the black historians, and all of that, and try to understand and recognize that maybe, just maybe, this is not accurate. Why is this not accurate? Or is this accurate? Oh, it is? Okay, cool. And then you weigh it, and then you can formulate your own opinion. But when you take the words of somebody else and they don't have the sources that's needed to back this up, you are the one that's missing out. You have now become the fool. You have been fooled. And that's what's happening here. Nick Cannon came out and defended him. And I loved that interview. I'm not even going to front with you. I loved it because it was an honest conversation and trying to understand each other's positions. Because Nick Cannon also said the same stuff years earlier. But the way that he understands it now, he realizes that some things that he said can be seen as anti-Semitic. And instead of going in and taking the negative aspect of those comments and doubling down on it, he goes in and recognizes, hey, maybe I should do a little bit more research and understand just a little bit more. And when he did, he was able to come from a place of love and apologize and take ownership of how he could have said things differently and how the negative stuff that was said, how just wrong he was. But at the same time, he wasn't all that wrong. I will say that. But he ended up talking about buck breaking. And the crazy thing about that is, I know damn well none of you people out there really knew what buck breaking was until he said it. I promise you. I promise you. Because it wasn't in our history books. It wasn't something that was talked about. It wasn't something that was out there, you know, in public spaces and domains where we just happen to stumble upon it and we look into it. Like, if you are not into African-American histories and studies, you are not going to find this. Like, you are not going to just, no. No. And it just blew my mind to see how many people on social media is just, yup, well, yup. And another thing that really bothered me about this is that people were so quick to look at the Jewish community or look at this Jewish man and not really listen to anything that he had to say. And how it made them feel. How the Jewish community could feel hurt by some of the stuff that goes to their community. They're a proud people and deserve to feel how they feel. Why are black people not the first ones to say, hey, you know what? I feel you, brother. Maybe we should work more together to try to combat all types of racism. Where's that conversation? Where? I'm going to throw out a conspiracy theory. Now, I don't have all of the proof or anything, and I'm not promoting this, but this is a thought that was brought to me, and it made me think. And it's hard to look up something like a conspiracy theory because it's based on evidence that you think is there, even when it's not. And that's the crazy thing. An absence of evidence is evidence within itself. That is the kind of the mindset and the mantra when it comes to conspiracy theories. But here's something that I did think about. If the government was actually, I'm sorry, I misspoke. This is something that was brought to me and it made me think. If the government was actually employing methods to divide a nation of people, the easiest way to do so would be through fear. Fear is the biggest motivator that will drive people to do anything that you really want them to do. That's a fact. So what ways can we induce fear onto the people and have them believe that this is really happening? We just got to sprinkle some shit out there and make it so. So when there were, back in slave days, there was, you know, the dark skins that was in the field cooking and working, right? And then there was the light skins that were in the house because they were more pleasant. And they, you know, they're not easy pass, but they are pleasant, right? Pleasant to look at. That created the divide within our own communities because these people, the light skins, were treated nice while the dark skins wasn't. So then that loyalty to the master is stronger than the loyalty of the ones in the field. Creates that divide. But then also when the housemates would see their skin folk being beaten, it creates the fear that if I get out of line myself, I'm going to die, you know? And that did that with the rest of them, but the psychological, like, dependency of the house slave to the master was much stronger because of the proximity of them to the masters. That's one way. But what about the poor white folks that came over? Because it's not like all white people that came over from, you know, Europe was all wealthy. Because the truth is, a lot of them came over as, you know, just like immigrants. They didn't have much money, but they were passable. So you had the poor Irish, you had, you know, the poor French, you had the poor this, you had the poor that. And they weren't seen, they weren't seen as equals, right? And it wasn't a thing back then to say you're white. It was, oh, you're Italian, you're this, you're that, you are specifically to this. But if they were poor, they were still poor Irish, poor Italian, you know. But then once the rumblings of the revolution and then the, you know, black people becoming free, what if they knew, well, if the poor whites and the poor and newly free slaves get together, they outnumber us. They outnumber the wealthy. They can come back and light us up. Hey, poor Italian, you're now white. You look like us. You're passable. So the real enemy that you have to be afraid of is them over there. What if that actually was a thing and that happened? And then with the Holocaust and everything that's happening, we have a new set of white people that come to America and looking for freedom from the German regime. You have the Polish coming and they're all lumped up into this one group and they're put in ghettos and they're in poor indigenous neighborhoods. And then this is all that they can do. They can only work in these particular environments and places. And then those people thrive. And now it's, we got to look at these people as an enemy. What if, I don't know, it's just, it was something that was brought to my attention that made me think and was like, well, if the government is orchestrating all of this hate in order to make sure that its people stay in line because they'll be more distracted by the proximity of these issues, that they're not going to pay attention to the bigger issues and the things that we're laying out so that we can have all the power. What if? And this is one of those things that we're looking at. I don't know. I kind of got sidetracked, but that was just a thought that came into my head. I'm not saying that it's happening. I'm not saying that it's not. But all I'm saying is it was just a thought that I thought about or someone brought to me, and it made me really think, like, damn, if that's the case, what if God's not real and the government is God? Damn, then we just, I don't know. I don't support it. I don't know. Just, but anyway, going back into Kyrie for a minute, the people were also upset, and Nick Cannon's point was that when it looks like buck breaking or feels like buck breaking, when you ask Kyrie to do these six things before he can get his job back, it feels like a humiliation. But then at the same time, I'm thinking, but is it? Those six things were apologizing over and condemning the movie that he shared, pledging $500,000 to anti-hate causes, go to sensitive training and anti-Semitic training, and meet leaders of the Anti-Defamation League, plus Jewish leaders. And lastly, he has to have a sit down with Joe Tsai as a final clearance before he gets to return to the game. Now, is he going to do all that? I don't know. He already apologized and he pledged $500,000, but the ADL refused it. And I found that to be interesting. It's very telling about the situation because it's not really about money. It's more about, like, you know, you have to learn. You have to understand that words have power and they do hurt people. I'm not sitting here being an Uncle Tom and saying that he is wrong and he should apologize. I'm saying we should have him understand the weight of this. And it could be considered buck breaking. It really could be. I'm not arguing against that. Because we also had Mel Gibson, Dog the Bounty Hunter, and Michael Richards do all of that. Before, Michael Richards was the only one whose career never recovered after that, you know, and it's just after their racist tirades, I mean, but it's just, it could also be an opportunity to show someone how their actions hurt people, you know, their words hurt people. We send people to jail for less, you know, why is it so wrong for the Jewish community to want to stand up for themselves and say, hey, that's not okay. You know, we're letting you know. Because we do it all the time. So why are we looking at the Jewish community and saying that this is brand new? This is not brand new. Every particular group of people has their own. I mean, just a few years ago, not that long ago, we had people coming after the Asian community because of COVID. I mean, is this how we're going to go down? That we become everything that we hate. We become what it's just, where's the love? Where's the respect for others? Where is the understanding that, you know, we can't just allow people to say whatever the hell they want to say to us just because they feel like saying it. Yes, we have the freedom of speech, but we are not free of the consequences. And we should remember that. Anyway, I think I went way too deep into this situation, but I really urge people, if you're going to say anything, or if you're going to side with your entertainers, if you're your athletes or anybody, politicians, if you're going to side with anybody who is saying anything wrong about a particular group of people and you're like, well, that's just freedom of speech, then you must say it. Not just retweet what an article said that they said. No, you voice those words yourself. And if you are not going to do it, it's because you are aware that you can't say it because you know that you'll lose your job. You'll lose a lot more than that, right? That's what these people are doing as well. That's what Kanye's going through. He thinks just because I can say whatever I want to say. And oh, by the way, people that are out there saying, oh, he did all this so he can get out of his contracts, that's stupid as hell, because there's always a way to get out of your contract without making yourself look like a fool. Always a way. And to those people that are like, oh, he only wanted to do this so then he could do it himself. Did you forget that he could have done it himself years ago, but he elected not to because he didn't have the means to do so? Or at least he thought, because he didn't know, because he didn't surround himself with people that have the know-how to be able to help him, because he's surrounded by people that say, yeah, Kanye, do that. That makes more sense. Doesn't make any sense. And also, to those people who are like, well, Kanye's... No. Because you can't serve two gods, right? Isn't he all about Christian lifestyle? You can't serve two gods. He's not out here trying to fight for you or fight for these other people. He keeps saying it's all about God, 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 God. Give glory to God. But he wants you to remember, I'm a billionaire, multi-billionaire. Give me my love. You're serving God and money, and you can't serve both. So God probably just came and punished him and took his money away. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I think I really did spend too much time on this. This was not where I was trying to go. I just wanted to give just a little bit my thoughts on it and then get into some other shit. So let me just close out this episode with something else. So I want to give a shout out to this gentleman named Mr. Chuck. So name's Tatino Williams. He's actually like an after school program director, and he makes music. And when I first heard him sing, I was like, okay, this guy got skills. And then I was like, hey, where can I find your stuff? And he was like, yo, check it out. And so he dropped this project not that long ago. And the project is called Just Vibes. It's out on Spotify. I highly suggest you go check it out. He gives me like that early 2000s vibe of R&B when like Mario just like got his voice, you know, like Sammy started coming into his own. K Young dropped Learn How to Love, and he had that hot joint together, and people still don't know who was rapping on that joint, but they had that fire line, it ain't what a man drives, it's what drives a man, that type of vibe, right? So I was listening to it, and I was kind of like, I was just in the zone. I was on a long drive listening to it, and I just got to give him a shout out, because that was really a really good project. Really good project. So I'm going to introduce him to y'all. And this joint is my personal favorite. I even got a white girl vibing to it. And that's the wild part, because she don't like half the shit that I play. But I played this and she was like, yo, this is dope. So I want you guys to take a listen. This is Tatino Williams, and this joint is called Outside.
I just wanna be outside. Where is just you and me? I just wanna be outside. outside. I might even just say, I just wanna be outside. We worry about a thing. A thing, a thing, a thing. Yeah, you mean so much to me. I just wanna be outside. Where it's just you and me. Let me tell you how I like it, how I want it. Girl, let's get away, you know I'm on it. Yeah, you know we rollin'. Ain't no music to this flowin', cause you already know how we be going. I just wanna be outside. Where is just you and me? I just wanna be outside. Where we ain't worried about a thing. I just wanna be outside. I might even just say, I just wanna be outside. Chirping. I can get used to this. Yeah, you know we gon' be soaring. I hop up in that thing and I be flooring. Young Simba get to roaring. Welcome into my performance. The way that I be going, you thought I got back from touring. Young boo, but you can just call me Jordan. Cause you already know how we be going. I just wanna be outside. Where is just you and me? I just wanna be. I just wanna be outside. We worry about a thing. A thing, a thing, a thing. Yeah, you mean so much to me. I just wanna be outside. Where is just you and me?
Tell me you're not feeling that. That is a vibe. That's a vibe right there. Again, that was Tino Williams, Outside, off of his album, Just Vibes. I'm telling you, he got something going. He got it. I really, really like that joint. So I'm about to get out of here. And before I do, I just wanted to play one more joint. I've been wanting to talk about this record for a minute, but, you know, life. Anyway, so Freddie Gibbs dropped Soul Sold Separately a while back, and you know I had to jump on that. I'm a huge Freddie Gibbs fan. I mean, the realest, I mean, this album really had a lot on it. I mean, he had Rick Ross, Pusha T. This was by far his best work since he dropped that Madlib joint, Bandana, and it's just damn, it's good. But this particular track, I'm really fucking with. It's one of my favorites off of the album. I mean, I'll listen to anything Pusha T is on, but I'll also just as quickly listen to anything Rick Ross is featured on, because he always comes with it. And the thing that I really like about it is that both of these MCs do not let up. They give it to you, and they make you love it. So this right here is Lobster Omelet featuring Rick Ross. It's Freddie Gibbs, y'all.
Yeah. Gang. Check, check. Check, check. Yeah. My nightmares coming true, but they ain't leave me spooked. On the West Coast counting blues, but I'm whooping with them rules. In my neighborhood, you was either five or six, you had to choose. And folks in there was stealing my starter jacket and my shoes. They laughing at me at my school, so I move like I ain't got shit to lose. When I get them goons, you in the afterlife by afternoon. My chopper tuck, but I serve that dust, my nigga serve that food. Now I'm in my jail cell, watching myself on the news. Broken hearts and empty pockets. Crack water, dirty faucet. When I shot that bitch in the chest, man, I knocked his shoulder out of socket. Fuck a degree, I'm whipping diesel, no direct deposit. Dope in my diaper bag, I'm serving while my daughter watching. Prosecutor might diminish me, so when they sentenced me, I was a no-show. Dumped the body in the country, Charlie D4L, I did it for the low blow. Bury me with all my jewelry on me and some VVS's in the loco. President ain't never love a nigga, who the fuck a nigga supposed to vote for? Nigga, what? All my lords in the pen, about to feel this shit. Got a stupid bitch that live in Hollywood with a mouth so good she can seal these bricks. Last year let a nigga bust down her, she got a nigga now she can still get dick. You would take away this rap shit today, throw the whole shit away and I'ma still get rich, bitch. Should be less. Can't train.
I'm ice skating. I'm ice skating.
Maybach music.
Yes. Niggas come to conclusion, checks keep coming concurrent. Shooters on the maneuver, really as a deterrent. M.A. singing melodic, pussy seeming hypnotic. I'm addicted to diamonds, such a fiend for them watches. Dollar signs in my carpet, killing ops is the obvious. I count bodies like bottles at parties when I'm in Cabo. I just lead and they follow, call it laws of attraction. Living in the Coliseum till I'm caught in my casket. On the beach in the mansion, your boy got him a pension. Pistols pulled in the panic. You can give me my sentence. Money come with the killing. White convertible ceiling. Bailing bottles in Venice. Pray you minding your business. Rappers wanna play sports. Athletes called in the courts. Actors overdosing, addicted to chemical sport. Boss.
Yo, that was Lobster Omelet by Freddie Gibbs featuring Rick Ross. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I am out of here and I will see you guys next week. I'm planning on some guests coming through and I'm actually going to be... Yeah, I got some stuff coming up. Anyway, thanks for listening in. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, please... You know, shoot me a line. And if I'm wrong about anything, please let me know. We're here to learn. Education is elevation. All right. I'm out of here. Peace, y'all.